So what kind of pizza does Jabba the Hutt like?
I don't know. What kind of pizza does Jabba the Hutt like?
Pepperoni with boba feta cheese.
This is Alan Dean Foster.
And my name is Beth Revis. I'm the author of Rebel Rising, and welcome to Star Wars Tides.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of Star Wars Ties. You thought we were gone. You were worried that we had gone hiding under rocks. And the truth is, we probably did. But we are back, and we are back ready to go. Woo! I am your host, J2SO, and with me is the ever faithful, ever awesome Mr. Lando Fett. How are you doing, man?
Man, just like when Boba Fett came out of the Sarlacc pit, we're back.
Oh, yeah. We are back. Oh, well, I hope we're not quite as bad off as Boba Fett was. It did take him a while in the back to tank there.
Oh, man, that was crazy.
But, yes, ladies and gentlemen, I know it has been a very long sabbatical, and for that, we are truly sorry. But as we will probably attest in many times over the course of the next many episodes that we record in, you know, the next 50 to 60 years, we're just, life gets in the way sometimes, and we got busy.
Yeah.
Kids got us, you know, hopping all over the place, and work's got us jumping, you know, hoops and everything, and it's, you know, just life gets busy. But we never forgot Star Wars Ties. We certainly never wanted to back away from it. We certainly never wanted you guys to go so long on radio silence. So we are back to release our first ever attempt at a live, unedited episode of X-Winging It.
Nice.
All the bloopers included in real time.
Ooh, man, those will be the ones you want to fast forward to, or fast forward to, depending on how bad they are.
Exactly. So if we go off on a random tangent, it'll just be in there right when you heard it, instead of saving it for the end, like we've tried to do in the past. But at least you'll get to hear how we really got lost and, you know, off on some random starship.
That's right.
You know, like the Razor Crest / Naboo Starfighter / whatever.
Just kind of thrown together.
So yes, ladies and gentlemen, we will be X-Winging It this time around. Let's go ahead and start our X-Winging It episode. Woohoo!
Woo!
Report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Lock S-Foils in attack position.
So today we are going to be starting a new series, and I don't really have a plan for when this series is going to end, because it's going to be a great opportunity, I think, for us as hosts to introduce those of you that are Star Wars fans that are curious about characters' placements in the expanded universe, new and old, plus the new material and old material in terms of movies and TV shows and everything else. It's a great opportunity for us to explore our experiences with these characters and perhaps introduce avenues for you guys to start digging into some of the material with which these characters appear. So I have dubbed this new series Palpatine's Personnel Profiles, so we hope you enjoy our first exploration through Palpatine's Personnel Profiles.
And you, we will watch your career with great interest.
Viceroy, I don't want this stunted slime in my sight again.
We have a new enemy.
I'm looking forward to completing your training. In time, you will call me Master.
With that, we're going to be jumping into our first explorative character, which I think is safe to say is a hot topic right now.
Oh, definitely.
The Book of Boba Fett, we're going to actually look at none other than the man himself, Boba Fett. So our goal today, with Landon here at my side, faithfully, we're going to just kind of dig in and chat it up and say, you know, where have we met Boba Fett before? In the books, movies, comics, cartoons, TV shows, you name it. And what are our highlight moments, and where would we recommend to send you as listeners to our show to explore more about the myth, the man, the legend, Boba Fett? So, Landon, what is your first exposure to the myth, the man, the legend, Boba Fett?
Oh, my first exposure, I was probably, I was in about third or fourth grade, and they had re-released the Star Wars movies. They did the re-release of the original trilogy, and, you know, my dad was kind of a big Star Wars fan, and he wanted me to kind of get into it, and we went and watched those in the theater, and I remember Empire Strikes Back in the theater was just, it was unreal. And you see Boba Fett. I remember asking him, I'm like, who's that guy? He's like, just watch. He's kind of like a cowboy bounty hunter kind of character. And, you know, that's kind of where I saw him. I'm like, oh, man, this guy's cool. Like, people, like Darth Vader even showed him some respect. And I'm like, wow, he's got to be strong if, like, Darth Vader's kind of nice to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole episode in Cloud City where they capture Han and he takes off with him. That was where I first saw him, and I'm like, man, this character's cool. Like, he just straight up abducted one of the main characters, has one of the main villains kind of friendly to him. Like, something's going on with this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a similar first experience. I would say it had to have been the special editions, or if not, you know, of course, the originals, when they were on TV and stuff like that in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just seeing him on the screen, the scene that sticks out in my mind is when Darth Vader points at him and goes, "No disintegrations."
Yeah,
that scene right there, was, whoa, this guy's got enough gadgets and means to, like, disintegrate a whole guy. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and a little dark. You know, kind of fascinating for a kid that's in elementary school or you know, gosh. It was just so neat. And, you know, you never saw his face. You never really knew it. The mystery behind him was so fascinating.
His design really stood out. Like, you have all these, like, stormtroopers and rebel pilots and rebel soldiers. And then there's this guy that you never see his face ever. And he's just different than everybody else in the whole universe at that time.
He was. And it really set a stage for some really, I mean, think about his costume. Like, he had this cool armor and the helmet. It was not white or black. It was green and gray, which set the stage for, you know, Lucas was really big on using color in the context of kind of flipping it around. You know, the bad guys wore white. You know, the main villain wore black, Darth Vader. But at the same time, Luke Skywalker wears black in the last, in the Return of the Jedi, which, again, flips this whole symbolism of color, because it's like, well, the hero is wearing black. But it still plays on that. And then you look at characters like Han Solo, who is navy and white and stuff like that. And then you have Boba Fett, who's in this greenish and gray. And it's like, well, obviously that means he's somewhere in the middle. But you always get the vibe that he's really a bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, you never really get the inclination that he's a good one. That he's a good character. And I go back to that no disintegrations thing, but that really set the mood, because it's like, well, if he's bad enough to disintegrate people, he's really not good.
Yeah.
And all right, so that was our first exposure to it with perhaps movies, or first exposure ever. Can you think of a comic book or a book that really sticks out as being a place where listeners should perhaps consider reading more about Boba Fett himself?
Yeah, so, and the book's not even about him, but it's the Han Solo trilogy.
Yes, like, I was thinking the same thing.
If you start around the second book, I think it is, it starts mentioning Boba Fett a little bit more, and he's kind of more of a prominent character in the second and third books of that trilogy. But it kind of shows you his code of ethics, which is really cool. Like, he, you know, you think, oh, this dude, he's lawless. He'll disintegrate people, you know, on sight. He doesn't care. But you find out he has a code of honor that he lives by, and that, you know, if it comes to him making money or breaking his code, he's going to follow his code and lose out on the money.
Yeah, you're right. And that was one of the really cool things about him in the Han Solo trilogy, which, of course, set the stage for some really cool stuff, because you had Han Solo being the primary character, but you also got to see a history with Boba Fett and Han that is not necessarily implied in the movies, but it makes the movie moments where Boba starts really hunting Han Solo in Empire Strikes Back much more meaningful.
It does. It's like, you know, after you read those books and then you go back and watch those movies, you're like, ah, so he's done this before. He knows pretty much everything about Han Solo up to this point.
Han Solo doesn't have any tricks up his sleeve that Boba doesn't know. And that definitely helps. And I love, you know, going back to, I mean, Empire Strikes Back is one of the best movies for Boba Fett moments, because, you know, he argues with Darth Vader.
Yeah.
You know, they're torturing Han Solo, and he looks at Darth Vader and he goes, he's no good to me, dead. You know, that very true. You know.
And he's like the only guy that's kind of stood up to Darth Vader at that point besides the good guys. You know, he's kind of like, hey, don't kill him. He's worth a lot to me alive.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, unlike Mando, you know, I want to bring him in warm. I don't want to bring him in cold.
Yeah. Oh, Mando. Golly, that Book of Boba Fett, that was great.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and take a moment and talk about Book of Boba Fett, because let's face it, that's a show worth talking about.
That's a great show.
So I've got to say this. If you're looking for another book that gives you a different perspective but a similar experience to the Book of Boba Fett, check out – it's a trilogy. Gosh, I can't remember the name of the trilogy. But the first book is called The Mandalorian Armor. The second book, I believe, is called Slave Ship, and I can't even remember what the third book was called. They are post-Return of the Jedi novels from the old expanded universe. And in the Mandalorian Armor, you actually get the same basic plot of how Boba Fett escapes the Sarlacc.
Yeah.
He basically, if I remember the book correctly, and I mean it's been double-digit years since I've read it, he uses his jetpack because he has the missile or whatever in the back of it,
mm-hmm.
and he blows the Sarlacc out with his jetpack so he can crawl his way out, which is, if I remember correctly, very similar to the show. He just shoots it through the sand off to the side or something.
Yeah.
Right? So it might even be that they're pulling from that book.
Which I am okay with.
Yeah, me too. But he loses his armor, like he does in the original, to like Jawas or something. And he has to hunt it down. And then the plot of that trilogy essentially goes into he feels like he needs to establish or reassert himself within the Bounty Hunters Guild. So it also sets the premise for a Bounty Hunters Guild, which we see in The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stipulation and politics and building there. But like I said, it's been so long since I've read it, I kind of want to go back and reread it now, because I don't remember how it concludes, or I don't think I ever read the second or third books. I just know I knew they existed. But that's another point in the old EU to explore, and obviously, even what little bits I can remember show up in Book of Boba Fett, which gives us an opportunity to see some of those things actually happen.
It draws the Book of Boba Fett, you can tell that it's drawing a lot off of the old Legends canon while still kind of mixing its own original story in with Boba Fett, and I really like that. Like, Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau they're killing it as far as I'm concerned with Star Wars right now.
I agree. They have done a great job. Now, I will admit, Boba Fett had a slow start.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were a lot of really good references there that made me think that, you know, once again, they're really trying to pull the same feel as what George Lucas did. George Lucas paid a lot of homage to classic movies and classic serials in the original Star Wars. That was what he wanted to do. He wanted to bring back what he considered the heyday of early cinema and serials and old movies, and we see that again with stuff like Boba Fett being becoming a part of the tribe for the Tusken Raiders.
Yeah.
And it just sings, you know, Dances with Wolves, or some of these classic, you know, even The Last Samurai, other, you know, movies where you have this outsider that gets accepted by the culture and becomes a warrior for the culture, and then tries to avenge the culture or help the culture find, you know, its new place in life. And we see that with Boba Fett, with the Tuskens, and it's so cool.
That, it is.
And I'm not trying to spoil it for anybody. I've tried to be pretty vague here, but I'm going to go ahead and throw a spoiler warning out there because, you know, it might happen. So if you haven't caught up on the Book of Boba Fett yet, we're at episode 6 at the point that I've spoken on this one. There's only about 2 left, I think. You might want to skip ahead a few minutes and make sure we're not talking about it anymore. But in the third or fourth episode, we see, like, the massacre of the Tuskens.
Yeah.
And I really like that. I felt it. You know, the music was spot on. The emotion was there. And, you know, I could see Boba Fett's emotions and feel that pain right there with him.
You're right, man. That's a pretty powerful scene, too, when he comes back and they're all dead. And the good thing, I mean, like you said, Book of Boba Fett kind of starts out slow, but it's establishing that same code of honor that he had in the Legends books.
It does.
It's kind of defining that, hey, he's a man that, you know, if you're fair to him, he'll be fair to you, basically.
Pretty much. I mean, he really wants to set up this empire or ruling of loyalty and respect, not fear and dominance. And it almost flips the criminal world upside down, but it is such a neat look at how he doesn't tolerate any of the, for lack of the junk that the other criminal leaders are willing to throw.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm not going to deal with that. That's not how I work. And I'm not going to stoop to that level. It shows, like you said, that code of ethics that he has had from the beginning. Which, again, points back to these old EU characters and EU moments. What's another Book of Boba Fett thing that sticks out to you?
One of the things that also sticks out to me, too, is like he's – I don't know. It's like he, after getting out of the Sarlacc, he's kind of slowed down a little bit, and he's not as – I guess itchy to get into a fight. Mm-hmm. Like he's all like, no, no, we can hammer this out. And then, you know, if negotiations go bad, he doesn't care to put the helmet on and just go to shooting people.
Right. But he's willing to try first.
Yeah. He's willing to try to be civil first, but he's still got that edge about him to where, you know, and the edge and the reputation really, cause people are still kind of wary around him.
Mm-hmm.
As this, you know, notorious bounty hunter that didn't care to shoot, kill, and bring people in, you know, no matter what it took. He still got that reputation, but they're kind of taken back, you can see, in a lot of the characters' faces when he tries to negotiate with them first. And right. then, you know, he's down to business. But I like what he's doing with the whole empire building. You know, it's the empire built on respect. You know, it's built kind of for people like bounty hunters who are just used for their skills and nothing else. It's kind of what I'm getting is he wants to build a place for all those type of people to come to and not be, you know, judged for what they've done or their reputation, I guess, is like a better term, their skill set.
Right. To be respected for the services they can provide, but also to be respected as people or as personalities in this case, because, I mean, look at like, what is it? Krishantan? Black Krishantan?
Yeah.
You know, he was essentially a cage fighter before he became a bounty hunter. And, you know, he's like, look, dude, I totally get it. Don't work for awful people. Come work for me. I'll treat you with respect. I don't mind that you tried to kill me. I get it. That you were hired to do it. But now you can work for me and make a whole lot more money, and I'll treat you like you should be treated. You know, I'm not
exactly.
And I think, you know, that kind of an atmosphere is something that the criminals of the Star Wars universe haven't necessarily seen. because most of the time the criminal minds that are in charge are power hungry.
I mean, yeah, and
look at the Hutts, look at Darth Maul, look at the guy from the Han Solo movie. It was Paul Bettany's character. I can't think of his name.
Oh, the weren't they? Were they the Red Sun?
The
I can't know.
Crimson Dawn. Think.
Crimson Dawn. I knew it was something with the color red. Yeah, the Crimson Dawn. Well, I mean, even the Black Sun, you know, was Zizor. You know, he was power hungry to a degree, I guess you could say, trying to get in the good graces with the Emperor.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for him to make an appearance. I feel like if they brought back so many other characters, he's going to make one too.
I would like for him to be the one that hired Cad Bane.
That would mean that the Pikes were actually under control of the Black Sun.
Yeah, and then you're getting all the criminal organizations mixed in, and it's, yeah.
Which would set a really awesome stage. They'd have to do some backstory stuff with... I mean, there's potential there where they could bring in Alan... is it Alden... How do you pronounce his last name? Einreich? The new Han Solo guy.
Let me see how they've got this phonetically.
Excuse me.
On here.
Alden Ehrenreich, is that right?
Yeah, I think that's what it looks like to me in the way that it's kind of pronounced. Yeah.
It'd be really cool. I mean, I know that, you know, the Han Solo movie got a lot of flack and stuff like that, but it set a stage for where you could take that movie and you could take Book of Boba Fett and you could go, there's this whole, like, 25-year gap. No, not 25. Probably 15. 10 to 15. Between 5 years after Return of the Jedi and probably 4 or 5 years before A New Hope, probably 10 to 15 year gap, of underworld criminal unrest. We want to see where Darth Maul ends up. We want to see where Han Solo and Lando fit into getting in bad graces with Jabba the Hutt, because we don't exactly know how that happens in the new canon. We know how it happens in the old canon, but we don't know how it happens in the new canon. And we want to see how perhaps maybe Boba Fett has already had experience with these characters in the past. You know, all of those could be done, and it would be a great selection of books or whatever. There is one book out there in the new canon that does explore that a little bit, and it's called Last Shot. It's by Daniel Jose Older, and that one explores – it's a Lando and Han novel that kind of plays with them when Ben Solo was like a year or two old. But there's also, like, flashbacks, so there's two stories going on. One way before Han and Lando, way before the rebellion and all that stuff, and then one, the story that, you know, is going on with Ben being two or one or something like that. And that was a really cool book. But again, it doesn't explore the criminal underworld as much, which is what is becoming, I guess, a really big interest within the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And I guess it always has been. It's just now it's kind of getting the highlight because it's what's being showcased on TV.
Book of Boba Fett's good. It's kind of like a mafia crime drama in a way, with Boba Fett as the head of the family.
Yeah, but it also has a lot of that classic Western feel too. I feel like I'm watching an old Clint Eastwood movie in a lot of cases.
Yeah, like the biker chase where I call them the moped gang, where the moped gang got after the mayor's assistant. That was cool. That was just like one of those old Black West where they're riding horses through the town trying to catch a guy, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, and the, of course, referencing episode 6, the high noon scene really between, spoilers here, but Cad Bane and Cobb Vanth. I mean, that was... If that wasn't a high noon scene, I don't know what was. That was
and the title of that episode fit too. From the Desert Came a Stranger.
Which feels like a spaghetti western.
Yeah, and you know he showed up, and me and Lori were watching it because she, you know, spoiler, Grogu's in this one, and she's like, oh, the little baby's in this one. I'm watching this one. She's like, who is that blue guy, and why does he look so scary? I'm like, that's Cad Bane. That's the dude that pretty much. / is Boba Fett's rival in bounty hunting.
Yep. That's, I mean, I'm pretty excited that he's in and that's going to be a, and he's the Pikes guy, you know, so it's going to be Cad Bane versus Boba Fett, which has been something since the Clone Wars you've kind of wanted to see, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is, like, Boba Fett has all these, like, Legends characters, too. He's got Mando. He's got Black Chrysanthemum. He's got the Rancor.
Yeah.
And he kind of made a reference. I never caught this till I was, like, looking back over it. He made a reference to the Christmas special with the Rancor episode. You know, when he's asking if you can ride it. And
because
he's like,
he was riding a Rancor in that, wasn't he?
He was. I can't remember if he was riding a Rancor or some kind of dragon, but he's like, I've rode bigger.
You know what? I've forgotten about that. You're right. Wow.
Yeah, he's like, I've rode bigger. I've rode bigger things than the Rancor.
Well, there's another reference for you guys as listeners to check out, the holiday special, but please just watch the cartoon part. Skip the rest of it.
Yeah, skip the weird Wookiee television.
Oh, someday, I promise, we will sit down and watch that from beginning to end, maybe in chunks, but we'll watch it, and we will record and respond in a green screen, because that...
that's like 3 or 4 episodes worth of material right there.
I honestly think that's 4 episodes. We do have to do it in 30-minute chunks because I don't think our sanity could handle it in any other capacity.
I tried to watch that. Like, I try to watch that at Christmas, and I can get about halfway through, and then I was like, oh my gosh, this is so horrible. I can't go any further.
It's rough.
But the cartoon was cool. The cartoon was very cool, and I liked the style that it was drawn in, too. Mm-hmm. Like, and I like the Boba Fett colors in that, too. They call it the holiday special color, Boba Fett, with the teal and the yellow.
Right. Yeah, you're right. And that is a unique color palette because they did not use it in the movies. But it was still one of the best things to come out of it and, of course, sets the stage. That, of course, is our first introduction to Boba Fett ever, is the cartoon from the holiday special. So that's another thing to check out, listeners. All right, so have you read any comics about Boba Fett that just, like, scream, you know, you got to talk about it?
I've not read many Boba Fett comics. Now, one that I have read that featured him pretty heavily was one of the new Marvel Star Wars, and it was where Luke went to Ben's house to kind of look for some clues, some Jedi artifacts and clues in his journal, and Boba Fett was there waiting on him.
That's right. Boba Fett actually hunts Luke because Darth Vader hires him to. And that's actually where we see Black Chrysanthemum first, is I think he was hired also by...
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? That's right. Darth Vader, I forgot about that.
Which shows, again, a rivalry between them because they were bounty hunting against each other.
Man, that season finale, if all those guys fight, that's going to be wild. That's going to be like getting all of your Star Wars toys together in the sandbox and just having them fight each other.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they're going to bring in Bo-Katan again?
I don't know. I love Bo-Katan and Boba Fett's interactions, though, in The Mandalorian.
I do, too.
They hate... Really, you can tell that. There's like a tension and a history between them.
Yeah. So, here's a funny story. It makes no direct connection to it, but... of course, this is something that we don't necessarily know about Boba Fett right now. We know that clones were not able to reproduce. That was one of the alterations that were made.
Mm-hmm.
But what about Boba Fett? And the only reason I ask that is because, again, referencing another book, Rob has been digging into the Young Jedi Knight series. And in the Young Jedi Knight series, if I remember correctly, and even into, I think, like the, not the New Jedi Order, some of the books that came out after the New Jedi Order, in the expanded canon of the old canon, Boba Fett is hunting a child of his. Mm. I think it's a daughter, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll say, I thought he had a daughter, like he had a wife and a daughter, like in the expanded universe later
Correct.
On.
Which, again, poses this whole, wow, could he have had children because he was a clone? But if he was an unaltered clone, then technically they would not have messed with anything. So,
yeah,
potentially he could have had children. And if that's the case, you know, I bring that up only because I thought it would be absolutely hilarious if one of the ways that they get around this whole is Boba Fett really a Mandalorian thing is that he and Bo-Katan end up becoming a couple.
That would be interesting because
they hate each other so much, but to forge some sort of a bond through fighting for a just cause or fighting for a similar reason and having a similar respect for one another. I just thought that would be neat. It would be kind of cool to see how that would shake out.
I mean, it could be a possibility. I mean, they're drawing off the Legends stuff, and in Legends, didn't he eventually become Mandalore over everything?
I don't remember.
I want to say that he was considered, he was either the Mandalore or some kind of high-ranking Mandalorian official, because he was married and he had the family and he went back to live on Mandalore. I want to say he was Mandalore for a little bit.
Hmm. Interesting.
And that's, that, if they draw on that, could he, well, he would have to get the Darksaber from the Mandalorian.
And right now they're best of friends, so I don't think that's going to happen right away.
No, that, I always thought that was cool. They offer him the pouch of money. He's like, nah, tell him this one's on the house.
This one's on the house. I'll help him out. He helped me out. Oh, man.
I love the fact that the two of them are like buddies.
Yes.
And they're like, yeah, man, I'll help you out. Yeah, man, I've got your back.
Yeah. I, you know, that, all right, we talked about, like, best scenes with Boba Fett and what sticks out in our minds. The episode where Boba Fett makes his appearance in The Mandalorian Season 2.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm here for the armor. Not your armor. My armor. And then just, like, whoops butt on all the stormtroopers with a Gaddafi stick.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Dude. Yes. Like, all right, I don't care how much of a wimp he sometimes seems because he's not fighting in Book of Boba Fett. I go back to that and go, he's just holding back.
Yeah,
he's, it has nothing to do with him being a wimp. It is him being smart. Because if he can take on that many stormtroopers with nothing but a stick, then no. You can't sit there and tell me that he's not a complete, absolute, awesome, just words I can't say on a child-friendly podcast.
That whole scene, too, where he's beating the stormtroopers and his music's playing, it kind of put me in the mood of Jaws, where you see the shark and you know he's getting ready to attack, but you don't know how bad it's going to be.
Right.
And then when the music picks up and it gets louder and he's just like bashing their heads in and like here he's here 1 minute and then behind him the next minute and making them shoot each other and oh. It is. It's just like a shark attack. You're getting ready to watch a shark attack something.
Yes. It was awesome. I mean, yeah. So I go back to that one and go, you know what, you can give me any cool fight scene you want in Book of Boba Fett. That's one of the best fight scenes for him. And he wasn't even wearing the armor. You know, it wasn't Boba Fett as Boba Fett. But
he was Tusken Boba Fett.
He was Tusken Boba. There's a new look. It's Tusken Boba.
Tusken Boba and Mandalorian Boba.
There you go. And then, of course, he soups up his armor and it looks good and everything. I mean, that's all cool. But that one scene, oh, man. And talking about that, you know, with Jon Favreau's, I'm assuming it was Jon Favreau's guest appearance yet again in Book of Boba Fett, playing as the Vizsla character.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was Jon Favreau's character. That was a cool scene.
That was. Fighting. Like, any of the Mandalorian scenes where he's with the Coven, I feel are really, they have a lot of significance.
They do. And what upsets me now is that, you know, he's, well, again, spoilers, listeners, he's been kicked out.
Yeah. He'll find a way to get back in. He has to.
I'm not so sure. I think this might be where Bo-Katan comes into play. See, my thought process is this might set the stage for now that he knows that he's no longer a part of the Way. What Way is his? And he started to forge a bond with Boba Fett here. But I think he's going to go the next step and start going, all right, well, if one Mandalorian way will not work, perhaps I can be a part of the other.
Maybe he'll be the Mandalore that creates the only way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering if he – because he still walked away the Mandalore.
And yeah.
Both sides of the Mandalorian culture creed, the Death Watch side, which is essentially what, you know, the armor and Vizsla are – a part of, and the Mandalore side, which is Bo-Katan's side, both agree that whoever has won the Darksaber in battle is
the rightful ruler.
Is the rightful ruler. So Mando might be the one that just takes it all on.
He might be.
I think that would be really cool, and I wonder if that's what we're going to see in Mandalorian Season 3, which they've definitely put a lot of preparation. I mean, if there's one thing you can say about Book of Boba Fett, it was, all right, look, we're going to set the stage for all the other Star Wars shows that are coming. Mandalorian's got a little bit of a sneak here. Ahsoka Tano's got a little bit of a sneak here. You got this.
Oh, That Ahsoka, spoiler alert, big one. That Ahsoka and Luke scene where they're watching Grogu train. Ah, I love that.
Oh, the reference to Anakin was awesome. Gosh, there are so many things about Book of Boba Fett. And I had a buddy of mine. His name's Kenny Lowe. He's one of my fellow teachers who I'm working with now. He's like, I find it upsetting that some of the best Book of Boba Fett episodes he wasn't even in.
Yeah.
You know what? The Mandalorian episodes were really good. I texted you the other day. That episode 5 was a love letter to episode 1, if there ever was
one. Yes, it was. Oh, I love that one.
I loved the whole Nubian starfighter, bringing in the Naboo starfighter. I loved the fact that he flew basically the entire podcast route.
Yep.
Including Beggar's Canyon with the little exit ramp or service ramp or whatever.
And all the little, yeah, and it was just like the track in the movie. Oh, it was so cool.
It was, I was like geeking out while I was watching it. And Afton was like, what is going on? I said, you just don't understand how many distinct references to so many different things are happening right now.
Like, it was like just, it was the late 90s all over again.
Yes, I know.
With episode 1.
It was awesome. And of course, I mean, I just it was so cool to see. So, another good one. But we got off there. See one of our tangents.
That's right.
A little off topic there. But our focus is on Boba Fett, and I think listeners, we've tried to give you guys some places to go. We definitely say check out the Book of Boba Fett. But if you want to explore the myth of the character, check out some of these EU books we've talked about. The Han Solo trilogy is going to be something that we always preach on this podcast, just because it was one of the best book trilogies we ever read that had Boba Fett in it. But more importantly, it just was just very well written and gave a great backstory for a lot of the characters that we actually see in the original trilogy. In addition to that, I would suggest checking out the Bounty Hunter trilogy that I mentioned.
Yep.
I cannot, the one with the Mandalorian armor and Slave One. If I could give you more information about it, I would. I'll try to include it in the show notes whenever I release this episode. Just at least a link to the first book or at least some information about it so you know what you're getting into there. I will say that, you know, if you get late enough into the New Jedi Order series after the Yuuzhan Vong invasion and all that stuff, you do start to get into some really interesting stuff with Jedi and the Jedi Academy that Luke made in the old EU. But you also do get some exposure to Boba Fett having children, or at least one specific child, and trying to hunt her down, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, if I'm not mistaken, at least one or two times where Boba Fett makes some appearances in other books.
Doesn't he train Jaina Solo? To kill her brother, because he's one of the only ones who can fight a Jedi and not be killed.
Correct. I think he is. And I actually think there is one scene. I'm trying to remember. You got to remember, I've read a lot of Star Wars books, and I can't tell you which one this is. But I want to say there is one scene where Han Solo meets Boba Fett, and Boba Fett is not wearing his armor. And he doesn't recognize him. Like, Boba Fett recognizes Han, obviously, but Han does not recognize Boba Fett. And they're, like, working together because they're trying to save, you know, something else, again, showing that Boba Fett code of ethics thing. And then, like, Han's like, I feel like I know who you are, but I've never seen you before. And I think it finally dawns on him later that, oh, that was Boba Fett. What? You know, kind of like a shock moment. And I, again, it's one of those where I was like, I know I've read the book. I know it was one of those later ones. But I couldn't tell you which one, and I hate that I can't, because it's just, you know, it's one of those things that I regret. But I would definitely say check out the books that we mentioned, the show. Of course, Empire Strikes Back and the Holiday Special cartoon are both great.
Yeah.
Of course, you can't watch the Book of Boba Fett without, of course, seeing Return of the Jedi and understanding why Boba Fett got thrown into the Sarlacc pit to begin with. So that's kind of a necessary thing. Are there any other Boba Fett things, like just exploring this personnel profile of Boba Fett that Palpatine has on his desk? Anything else that we can send out to our listeners and say, check this out too?
The Shadows of the Empire comic, doesn't it fall? Isn't Boba the main character in those, in the comic version?
I'm not sure, but I do think he's in it some.
I think it follows him a little bit.
Because they're chasing Boba Fett. So that's part of the premise of the story of Shadows of the Empire, is they're chasing Boba Fett, trying to get Han Solo before he makes it to Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, I want to say I've read like the first issue of that, and it talked a little bit more about Boba Fett's part in that story of them chasing him down and him trying to evade him and get away and get to Jabba's.
Yeah. I can believe that. And there are several Boba Fett comics out there. I have a few of them. None of them really stick out in my mind as like, you have to go read this comic. It's an amazing, you know, comic. But it's not that they're not good. It's just that none of them are like, wow, you know, I can't resist not telling you about it. The book that really screams to read, to go watch, but to get a good backstory for Boba Fett are really the two that we mentioned. The Han Solo trilogy, especially Hutt Gambit, which is the second one, which, again, shows that moral code that Boba Fett follows, so distinct from all the other bounty hunters. And that Mandalorian armor, Slave One, or Slave Ship trilogy, those definitely set a stage or set a premise for giving us more information about Boba Fett as he expanded and became the myth that he is. And let's face it, he is without question one of the most loved and beloved characters of the Star Wars universe, and he really doesn't have a lot of screen time.
No, I mean, really, he doesn't. I mean, he kind of gets established, you know, in Attack of the Clones, and there's a few Clone Wars episodes that kind of deal with Kid Boba Fett, but, yeah, like you said, there's not a whole lot about him that you know.
Yeah. So, it's definitely really cool to get the opportunity to see how that expands and explores, but it's not something I really, you know, can relate to anymore. I mean, you know, I can't not relate to, that's not the right wording. I think one of the things that makes him so loved is the fact that you don't get a lot of time with him.
Yeah.
The mystery sets the stage. And the few times that you do get scenes, they're so awesome and so amazing that it just hooks you.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, like we were talking about, yeah, he hunted bounties for the Empire. He was a bad guy, quote unquote, but he also had a code of honor that he followed that's just as stringent as what some of the good guys in the Jedi follow.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I think that really is something that we miss a lot of times when we don't think about it. Which is unfortunate, because I think that's one of the coolest things about his character. And it's one of the things that I actually was worried about with Book of Boba Fett, because I was worried it was going to take some of that mystery away.
Yeah.
But I still think a lot of it is there. We're just, again, seeing his character fleshed out in a different way.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Well, Landon, this was a lot of fun.
This was a good one.
Back into it. This was good to get us kind of back into things. Listeners, we're going to try to do a personality or a personnel profile as often as we can. And our goal is to basically just to present and provide an opportunity for you guys as listeners to get exposed to new characters and what they can do and where they are in the wonderful expanded universe, whether it be the old one or the new one, so that you can learn more about these characters. And again, our goal is, as Star Wars Ties, is to help tie you in to all of these other avenues of where these characters are and where they can be located, so that you can be as knowledgeable about them as possible, and you can, you know, explore them to the levels that you wish. So we hope you enjoyed this theme and this goal. And we hope that you are enjoying us back. We are certainly enjoying it. I know I'm glad to be back. What about you there?
Yeah, me too. I enjoyed this. This was a good one to get broke back in on, get back in the swing of things.
Well, I mean, it certainly was a necessary thing for us to explore, simply because up to this point, you know, Boba Fett's been on my mind.
Yeah.
George is not on my mind. Boba Fett's on my mind. But it's because of the Book of Boba Fett. And I mean, and Mandalorian Season 2 and all that stuff has just been ever present. And definitely something with this whole Mandalorian theme that we're exploring. So the goal is going to be each episode we'll pick out a new character and just talk about books or comics or both that really highlight and bring out that character that in our minds. And of course, if they have any screen appearances, because some of them might not, where those are. But always trying to get you guys to have places to go to explore these characters too. So if you have any recommendations or requests as to a character that you would love to know, you know, hey, where can we find more information about this character? Please reach out to us. You know, our email is still alive and active. It is StarWarsTiesPodcast@gmail.com. And yes, you can still call us. I know Mr. Stout is the like worst person ever when it comes to actually responding and doing feedback from listeners. But in all honesty, I don't think we've gotten very many calls. So I would like to point out that if you do wish to call us, we would be happy to respond to your call and to give you the opportunity to dig a little bit deeper with us. And all I can say is if you want to call us, you can reach us at the following number. It is... I lost my number. No! So much for a live recording.
This is all part of going live, folks.
Yeah, this is one of the straps. All right. There we are. You can call us at 828-331-1873. Once again, that is 828-331-1873. And you can still email us at StarWarsTidePodcast@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us on Facebook. But I will go ahead and be honest, Facebook's probably the least frequented thing, for me anyway, just because a lot of stuff gets posted on Facebook, like memes and things like that, and that's not usually something that I can bring into the show regularly simply because it's like, oh, well, 16 of those posted within the last 2 days. I don't know if that's actually listener feedback or just Star Wars stuff being shared on a Star Wars page. So I would suggest calling or emailing us. That way we know you're specifically trying to get us on the show. And if the cool thing about emailing us calling us is that we have the audio, so I can play it back. And now that I've kind of sort of figured out the technology to make that work, we can play your voicemail on the air while we're recording, which is super cool. So once again, feel free to reach out to us and tell us what character you would like us to explore, especially if it's a character that you're, you know, really interested in hearing about. So be sure to do that. And Landon, I think the question that we have to answer before we leave is what kind of blue milk should we leave our first episode back with?
Ooh, that's a good question. Let's see. I'm trying to think of something that Boba Fett would like. He seems like a whiskey man.
He does seem like a whiskey man.
How about whiskey flavored blue milk?
A whiskey flavored blue milk. All right. Well, that sounds good to me. Ladies and gentlemen, we certainly hope you have enjoyed this first episode of Palpatine's Personnel Profiles on our Star Wars Ties. I am your host, J2SO, and with me is the awesome Lando Fett. We wish you the happiest of New Year's. Much late, I apologize. But nonetheless, we are thrilled to be back releasing episodes of Star Wars Ties to your wonderful listening ears. And we wish you to have a wonderfully... Blended.
I like blended.
Flavored of whiskey flavored blue milk. May the force be with you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. All right.
Woo!
We made it.
That was fun. Those live shows are fun like that.
Yeah, I mean this. I mean, as long as the sound effects kind of work and you know,
yeah.
I can make them function, then I don't have to go in and put those in editing. So that makes this part so much easier.
That's good.
And
we like easier.
I don't feel like we sounded like bumbling idiots. So
no.
I really don't feel like I have to go in and edit anything. I can just cut out the precursor and then post publish the episode. So I hope I can publish it, you know, maybe this Saturday.
That would be cool.
And really only have about maybe 15, 20 minutes of editing involved, which would be awesome. And if that's what actually happens, then I will take that as a win.
I hadn't talked to you since we went to Disney, did I?
No, you haven't.
Oh, stout. I got to go to Star Wars Land.
Yeah.
It was the greatest thing I've ever done at Disney. It was so cool.
I am super, super, super jealous of you.
We got blue and green milk. The blue milk is good, but the green milk you have to kind of acquire a taste for, and I kind of agree with that. I had a Darth Vader Under Armour shirt on.
Nice.
And everybody there was like, the cast were like whispering when I would walk by and look at my shirt point. And we went, and Lola wanted to do the build the lightsaber thing, so we saved up and we went and did that.
Nice.
And the people that do the lightsaber are like in character the whole time. And the guy that was checking us in, he looked at my shirt and he said, "Ah, Lord Vader." He said, "You know, I always found him to be kind of misunderstood. He's always one of my favorite historical Siths."
Nice.
And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, this is just like it's real life. This is
so
really
cool.
Happening." And Lola got to make her lightsaber. She made one with a Rancor tooth on the hilt of it.
That's cool.
She chose purple as her crystal, and the whole time, but she said the sweetest thing. She looked at me and she said, "Dad, they bring out the crystals in this thing and you pick them, and they do this big ceremony when you make the lightsaber." And she looked at me and she said, "Dad, are these crystals magic?" I said, "Honey, they have the force in them." I said, "There is no magic. It's the force."
There you go.
And she made a purple Rancor based lightsaber. After we did our lightsaber, we went to, the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
We got to see Hondo Ohnaka. It's Hondo's Emporium, where you fly the Falcon out of.
Nice.
And your mission is to help him shoot down First Order convoys that are transporting treasure worth a bunch of credits to one of their bases.
Mm-hmm.
And it was me and Lola. We went into it. We were the gunners on the Falcon. I was the top gunner. She was the bottom gunner. And we had two pilots that flew us, and Lola ended up getting the highest score for the day on number of TIE fighters shot down. It was crazy.
That is awesome. Why like go Lola?
It keeps score as you're doing it, and Lola's like, "Dad, what's your score?" I'm like, "I don't know." And at the end, it shows the pilots, like, what rank they got. Our pilots only made it, I think they only hit one thing the whole time they flew it. So they got, like, a elite ranking, and I got, what did I get? I got second gunner. Lola got high gunner of the day. It's like player or gunner number one, you have high score of the day.
Wow.
So I'm
that
like,
is
oh,
so cool.
You shot down more TIE pilots than I did. That's crazy. But
it's a little
scary, too. Oh, my gosh. That was so cool. And, like, I took pictures of stuff. Like, there's Star Wars, like, droids just all over Hondo's place. There's an animatronic Hondo that looks like a real person that talks to you while you're in line.
Man.
Oh, it's so cool. It was so cool. We didn't get to do Rise of the Resistance because the wait was 3.5 hours.
Whoa.
But we walked around Star Wars Land. She got to say hi to Rey. She heckled some stormtroopers.
Nice.
There was an A-Wing that was just, like, parked in the middle of the park that you could get your picture made with. What did they have? On the First Order end, they had the transport shuttles, and that's where the stormtroopers would come out of and heckle people.
Wow.
And, I mean, they were ruthless to people, like... There was one guy, like, yelling, "I'm going to use the Force on you." And that guy looked, and he said, "No wonder the Jedi are dead. Look at this character."
That's awesome.
It was cool. If you ever get the chance to do it,
oh,
and
man.
Spend a day there.
I do. I really wanted to. We were supposed to go right before the pandemic hit. Or right when the pandemic hit. We were supposed to go in April, right after everything shut down. And that was on our plan. Like, I had the money saved up. I was going to build a lightsaber. I was going to do it. So when we go, which I hope will be soon, we've been mentioning it back and forth to each other, going, you know, we need to go soon because kids are getting too old to really enjoy the magic if we wait too long.
Oh, you need to do it, man. So, Star Wars. The scene where Lola asked me, she's like, are the crystals magic or what? And I'm like, no, they've got the force in them. She's like, ah, I see. And they glow and they pulsate till you put them in the hilt.
That's so cool.
It was cool. And they do a little ceremony. And Lola, I'm trying to think what hers was. She got purple. And they told her that she would walk the line between dark and light to protect everyone she loved. That was what her color stood for.
Whoa.
That she would be able to draw on the dark side, but she wouldn't fall to it.
Right. Cool.
Yeah, they do like a little history of all the colors, and they have like holograms of like all the Jedi Masters who have used the color. Like when green came up, Yoda came up and it played his theme. When red came up, Darth Vader came up and it played his theme. And it talked about how even though he had a red lightsaber, in the end, he wasn't totally evil.
Right.
That, wow. Yeah, it was very, very cinematic, kind of theatric. It was really cool.
It's on my list, man. I got
to
go.
You need to do it now. And if you collect Disney pins, you get a special pin for whatever lightsaber you make.
Oh, neat.
So Lola's got the... She was a nature-based Jedi. So her lightsaber was made to look like it was made out of wood and forest and natural things.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, that's how I think I would do mine. Kind of like a Wookiee Jedi would do.
That's kind of what it reminded me of, was the Wookiee Jedi, especially with the big Rancor tooth on the bottom of it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's worth doing it, man. It's that right there was what made my trip. I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta tell Stout and everybody about this. This is so cool.
Well, I'm glad you did.
I lived Star Wars for a day, and it was so cool.
That's awesome. Speaking of some fun experiences, I get to go to I sent you a picture of that.
Yeah, that concert's gonna be cool.
Yeah, the Charlotte Symphony is doing a it's a reschedule from last year because of COVID, but it worked out great for me. So it's going to be a screening of The Empire Strikes Back. So they're going to play The Empire Strikes Back, the whole movie, on a big screen in the hall. But they've stripped the musical score from the audio. And the Charlotte Symphony is going to perform the musical score live while the movie is going on.
Wow, that's awesome.
So I am so stoked. This is going to be such a fun experience. So that'll be here right about a month. It'll be middle of March.
Oh, that'll be so cool. You'll enjoy that. Oh, that'll be fun.
I told my wife today, I was like, this is like feeding two of my favorite things, Star Wars and music. I can't go wrong.
You can. I mean, it's a win-win for you.
There's just no way I can mess this up. So I'm super excited about it. Oh, there's
I hear Bill Murray.
There's Bill Murray there. Well, Landon, this was a lot of fun, man.
This was great. I loved it.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
I hope you have a great day.
And, you do the same.
I guess we'll talk to you later.
Oh, man, yeah, I'll talk
to you. Let's get the
Oh, I love that.
Love it, too. We'll see you, bud.
All right, man, see you.
Bye.
Bye. Hmm.